Access more.
Hi, friends. It's Paula Ferris. You might remember me from Good Morning America or The View. It's okay if you don't. But I have a new view now. My husband and I moved to South Carolina with our three kids, and I'm exploring new seasons of calling. Each week, I'm joined by friends to have real, honest conversations about their stories, their struggles, and triumphs, all to encourage and empower you. We're going to be talking about what people are called to do and who they're called to be. I welcome you in to the Paula Ferris Faith and Calling Podcast. Hey, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed last week's conversation on burnout with Joe Saxton, just talking about how we can identify if we're burned out, why we're burned out. And to be honest, this conversation really wrecked me, and it was a moment of reconciling what's been going on around me. Look, we're not always going to be burned out on our jobs. Sometimes we're burned out on what's going on around us, what's affecting the people that we love around us. And so just stepping back and taking account and also realizing I'm a little burned out on motherhood and I'm burned out on my own expectations. It was such a revelatory conversation. And if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to, because the strong majority of us are feeling some level of burnout. And it is one of the reasons why I'm taking a summer break from the podcast. This is my last episode that I'll be releasing until the fall, though I will be dropping a bonus episode, just one this summer, just to stay in touch with you. And it's a good time for you to get caught up on episodes. I'd love if you would support the podcast through the summer, share it with your friends, rate it and review it, just to kind of keep it going through the summer until we resume in the fall. Okay. Today, this is what we're going to be exploring. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean that you're called to it.
And then it started to shift. The love started to go away. I was starting to recognize that there was some transition happening in my heart and possibly in my career.
That's Tara Lee Cobble. She's host of the wildly popular Bible Recap podcast. And chances are, you've heard of it or you've listened to it. It's one of the most successful podcasts right now, especially in the faith category, over 150 million downloads. And she breaks down the Bible in easy, relatable, conversational chunks in podcast and in print through the Bible Recap. By the way, you're going to have a chance to win the Bible Recap in print. She's going to be giving away 3 autographed copies. Stay tuned. I'll tell you how a little bit later in the episode. But this podcast, teaching was a big pivot for her because Tara Lee started her career as a singer, as a musician, but she says something started to stir. So what happens for you when the love is gone, when things start to shift, when you feel called to something, when you have lost the passion for what you're currently doing and you feel called into a new direction? What happens next?
I definitely felt ill-equipped. To be honest, I felt that way with music too. And I know that that can be a lie.
When you feel called, but you feel ill-equipped, you're going to love this conversation with Tara Lee Cobble about feeling called, but ill-equipped. Also, the shocking way that God closes one door and opens another, why we are reading the Bible the wrong way, and how her successful podcast all started with a cheap microphone, a box, and a sheepskin rug. Here's Tara Lee.
Testing, testing. We good? My microphone is not
nearly
as good as yours. Mine was $99 on Amazon. So, but it's what I recorded all the Bible Recap with. So
it's working. See, it goes to show you, you don't need the fancy equipment. All you need is
Amazon. I use an Amazon box and an Amazon mic. That was my studio.
And then you have a breakthrough podcast with unexpected and unprecedented results, right?
Bonkers.
Hi, Tara Lee.
Hello, Paula. How are you today?
And I learned not to call you Tara. It's got to be Tara
Well
Lee.
Done. You learn quickly, my friend.
Or I can call you TLC.
TLC, that works too.
I love it. Oh my gosh, Tara, you're going to die. So
you
know
I'm right out of the gate, you called me Tara.
But oh my gosh, I did it. See?
Yes.
Okay, Tara Lee. Tara Lee, Tara Lee. Okay, so you know that I'm near Greenville, South Carolina, which you spent a ton of time. You're kind of raised in Greenville.
I was born in Greenville, Tennessee, correct? And raised in Greenville, Tennessee, but I did live in Greenville, South Carolina, which is just like 2-ish hours away. Right.
Very confusing.
I love Greenville's fan of
that's
all things green.
Confusing.
I love
the Greenvilles. So Tara Lee, I'm so excited to talk about your podcast, which has just exploded, but I want to talk about what you felt called to do years ago. And that was to sing. In fact, you felt called to singing for a while and you were on tour. You were touring mm-hmm. all across America. You had signed with a record label.
I enjoyed it. I loved being able to get in front of audiences and connect with them about where they were and what the Lord was doing in their lives. And because I'm a Christian. And so that informs a lot of my decisions about career and things like that. And so as I'm traveling and feeling really led in that direction, it was going great. I was making a living at it. I was traveling, I traveled the world, got to see the world doing this. And it was great for a season. And so it really surprised me when that season started to shift a bit.
Okay. So talk about what shifted. So in full disclosure, I listened to a podcast of yours. You were a guest on it. And you said that you didn't love music. You really didn't like it. And I'm like, but she's a singer. Right. So how is this possible? I have a very good friend mm-hmm. who just got out of teaching recently. And she said, Paula, I was really good at it, but I never loved it. That's the key to calling is, are you good at it and do you love it? And do people notice that you're good at it and you love it? So you were good at music, but you were missing that burning passion.
Originally, I did love it. And so what you're saying is, I think it's absolutely right because initially I loved it. Right. I was good at it. Let's say that. We'll put that in air quotes. I mean, my music career is not something that I talk about often because it's not a season of my life that I'm necessarily proud of. I don't feel like it's my best work, but I did feel like I was good enough to make a living at it. And I did love it. I loved it. And I loved mm-hmm. the people that I got to meet. And I loved the places that I got to go. And I loved the musicians that I got to work with. And then it started to shift. The love started to go away. And I started to find myself riding in cars on tour and preferring to listen to books, sermons, podcasts, things like that. Like I would much rather listen to a podcast sermon than an album. That was when the shift started to become obvious to me that maybe my life was moving in a different direction.
Okay. Let's dig into this shift. When people are sensing this shift and maybe the love is gone for something that they once felt really passionate, felt called to, how did you know what to do next? Because you said you started digging into podcasts, you started listening to books on tape, you started like devouring all of this content, biblical content, mm-hmm. right? Theological content. Did you go to seminary?
No, it was just a passion. I did not have any professional training. And what I noticed, one of the other things that I noticed apart from the shift in not wanting to listen to music was that in concerts, when I was playing a song, I could not wait to get to the end of the song to explain the next song, to talk about what circumstance in life or what passage of scripture had inspired this next song. And I was so much more excited to talk to people than to sing to people. I was so much more excited to tell them the foundation underneath all of this. And I was like, well, I like talking to people more than I like singing to people. And I was starting to grow in that passion. And I was like, writing songs based on some of the sermons that I was listening to while I was traveling and things like that. And it was all I was starting to recognize that there was some transition happening in my heart and possibly in my career.
Were you scared at all to go for it? Because like you said, you didn't go to seminary, you don't have theological training, but you are speaking in this space, you're devouring the content, you're now preaching and teaching, which is something that you do love to do. Was there a bit of an intimidation factor going on? Like, I feel unqualified to go in this space, but I feel that I'm being called to it because I really love it and I'm actually kind of good at it.
And I definitely felt ill-equipped. To be honest, I felt that way with music too. And I know that that can be a lie. It can be true that you aren't equipped for something. That's possible. I am not equipped to be an Olympic sprinter.
I'm not equipped to be an Olympic gymnast, though I would love to be.
Right.
But that'll never happen.
So sometimes it's true that you aren't equipped for things. That's true. But if there is a calling, if God is calling me to do something, I know that he's going to equip me and give me what I need to for that. And so when I started my music career, I did not know how to tune my guitar. I did not know how to change my own strings. There was so much I didn't know. And I just went for it and it worked. And the same with this, it was kind of like, I have not been to seminary. I don't have any letters behind my name and I've never been on staff at a church or anything like that. So who am I to do this? But I know that seminary is having other people teach you and discussing those things with other people who are learning about those same things. And I was doing that with some of the the brightest minds of our theological generation. And so I had those opportunities, and the Lord just kept introducing me to people and bringing me into those spaces. And so he was showing me that he was equipping me for that. So I began to just kind of pray that, like, God, if this is you doing this, will you just make it possible for me to make this transition happen? And I didn't know how to do it. Honestly, Paula, I was like, I was afraid. Like you said, were you scared to move from one to the other? And I was, but I just kept asking the Lord to do it. Mm. And I knew that if it's his leading, it's his doing. And so I had to have open heart surgery. And when I had open heart surgery to fix a birth defect, I lost my lung capacity. And God closed that door for music because I couldn't sustain on stage anymore. So that was a clear answer to me that he was making the shifts in my career that I thought that he was.
Wow. So this is a clear sign from God, a clear sign that you're supposed to go for this. You have to press into your fear. You feel called to this. You have a passion for it. What do you do next, Tara Lee? What is the next step that you take? Because people are like, okay, I feel like I'm being called into this area, mm-hmm. but I'm scared and I'm in my comfort zone. What do I do next?
I had been doing some speaking engagements sort of adjacent to my music tour. So when I would come to a church, especially, when the economy was going through a really rough time and I was doing concerts and I was going to conferences and they would say, oh, you know, we just lost our speaker. And I was like, hear me out. Could I do both? Like, could I be your speaker and your worship leader? Package deal. It's great. We just started to make that transition based on the connections that had already been set up.
Oh, that's great. And notice, again, this is what I love about, yes, we're called to different things in different seasons, but God's going to use those gifts and talents and nothing's wasted. Mm-hmm. Look at those connections, the networking that had happened from being on stage and singing, and you're using those same connections to move into this next area of calling, which is awesome. So how does this all begin? I read that you had written a Bible study back in high school.
I did,
or you had conducted a Bible study back in high school, and then you wrote one in college. So this had been going on for a while, but it was just kind of a love. You didn't necessarily feel that it was a calling. Right. So tell us a little bit how it all started.
I grew up in a Christian home and my family owned a Christian bookstore. Mm-hmm. That was my first job. My dad is just if you had come into my family's Christian bookstore when I was 6 years old and your family had bought a Bible, Greenville, Tennessee.
Okay.
The bookstore's still there. Okay. And it has survived through I think my family's had it for 50 some years. And my job was to emboss your name on the Bible. If you got like your name printed on the Bible, I had to like emboss your name on it. And my sister would like check the spelling and make sure I'd spelled it right. So I was working at my family's Christian bookstore, surrounded by all of these books on theology and scripture and all that. I was surrounded by people who talked about it all the time. And so by high school, I already knew a lot more than most of my peers. When I moved into college, I started leading some of the high schoolers who had been freshmen when I graduated. I started leading them through a Bible study that I wrote based on a lot of other books I had read. I was just like grabbing resources and accumulating them into one thing that I could teach them through. And I would be probably mortified to look at that today. It was basically me just aggregating all this information that I'd been surrounded by and not necessarily any personal new thoughts or ideas. I was kind of compiling everything that I'd learned and I'm trying to teach it to people younger than me. So that is something that I definitely early on had a real love for, a love for knowledge.
I mean, there was a clear sign after your surgery that God was moving you in this new direction. And so often when we're called to do something that's maybe a little out of our comfort zone, or like you said, we feel ill-equipped to do, like for me, starting Carry Media, I feel very ill-equipped to lead a company and to move into the entrepreneurial space because I'm a broadcaster. But we have to give ourselves permission to see ourselves in a new capacity and give other people permission to see ourselves in a new capacity. How did you give yourself permission to do something different?
I was so excited about it that I was just jumping over any barriers to get there. I was like, how do we make this happen? I kind of like went aggressively after it once I saw that it was what the Lord was doing. Mm. So all of my hesitation kind of got buried in the process. I'm just going to go do it. Like, this is clearly the Lord doing it. I've been asking for this. He said, yes, let's go for it.
And I think that's why he gave it to you. Because you're like, give me the baton, give me the ball.
I took off. Now I'm a planner. I love a plan. Definitely type A. But the best things I've ever done have not been my ideas. They have been things that I feel like have been just like dropped in my mind by the, like, I just like the Bible recap that, which I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about in a minute. The podcast, the book, all those things that just came kind of fully formed. And so that idea came fully formed to me. So I just went with it. I just took it as an assignment. I'm like, this is an assignment. Let's go. And so I tend to not be tentative.
That's a gift, actually. That really is a gift. So you start these discipleship groups, which become the D group, right? You're discipling women. They start growing exponentially. And then how does the Bible recap Bible come out of it?
When we were doing D group, which I started D group while I was a musician, because again, I'm learning all that stuff on the road and I'm like, I've got to give this to somebody. So all the stuff that I'm talking about on stages around the world, I had been talking about in home groups that I had started this thing called D group, discipleship group. And it started with just nine strangers in a living room in Anderson, South Carolina. You know, now we're around the globe, six continents. And so when we were doing D group, every year I was reading through the Bible. And now I have all these, the attention of all these, you know, 100,000 plus other people who are listening to me make this video and send it out to them for our Bible study every week. And I'm like, read the Bible with me, read the Bible with me. And a lot of people would start out reading the Bible with me at the beginning of the year, and then they would drop off. And I was pretty sure I knew where they were dropping off because I had tried and failed most of my life to read the Bible through every year, you know, try, fail, try, fail, try, fail. And I was like, I'm a Genesis scholar at this point because I've read Genesis so many times, but nothing else.
Why did you think everybody was dropping off?
I think the reason the majority of people stop reading the Bible is because they don't understand it, because it feels confusing. It feels outdated. And so it feels hard to connect to. And I think for me, the problem in not understanding it was a lot of times I was trying to read it front to back. It's not intended to be read front to back necessarily. It's intended to be read as a story. It's laid out like a library. It's laid out in these sections like law, poetry, narrative, things like that. It's not laid out in the order that it happened. And so when you read a story out of order, it is very confusing. And I was very confused by it, as are many people. And so what I would do is I would just stick with the parts I felt comfortable with and ignore the parts that were confusing to me. I'd be like, really like those parts with Jesus in them. Those poems are quite nice. Let's ignore everything else. And
Let's stick with the red letters and just forget it all. Forget the rest.
A verse here and there that makes me feel really good when I'm having a rough day, but I don't need to read the context because then I might find out that I've plucked it out of context and made it mean something it doesn't really mean. So I think that the Bible is confusing to even Christians. And studies show that most Christians have not read the entire Bible. And I understand why. Paula, this was a big mistake that I made most of my time reading scripture, was I was reading it like it was a mirror. I was reading it to see more about me. I was not reading it to get to know God. I treated it like a pharmacy sometimes too. Like, let me go get what I need to get through the day.
Prescriptive. Yeah.
I was not reading it to get to know the God that I said that I loved and the God that I said that I was building my life around. I wasn't. I was reading it selfishly. So my approach was wrong. My process was wrong. And I ended up very confused. All these people were dropping off just like I did. And I realized that the only reason that I made it through scripture the first time was because a friend of mine who had read through several times offered to answer my questions along the way. And so about once a week, I would bring all my questions to this pastor friend of mine. He would answer them. And I was like, okay, now I can keep going. But if he hadn't done that, I would have quit so early on.
And most people don't have that.
For sure. Yeah.
When
I was asking, you know, all these people to read the Bible with me, I had one girl who said, hey, every time you mention this, I try it and I just fail. And like, I really want to do it. Like, how did you do it? And I realized what I just told you, someone held my hand. Someone walked me through it who had walked that path many times before. And so I offered to do that for her. And when she was finishing the Old Testament, she was like, Tara Lee, I cannot believe I'm about to finish the Old Testament. This is amazing. I never could have done it without you. And I was like, and I never could have done it without Lee McDermott walking me through it. How can I do this for as many people as possible? And that was everything fully formed, like the name for the podcast, the idea of doing like just a short 8-minute snippet every day. So we read through the Bible chronologically. Brilliant. You do like 12 minutes of reading a day. You can listen to my 8-minute podcast, or if you're not an auditory learner, then you can, you know, read the book, which we have the Bible recap book that is 2 pages
which
a day.
I'm reading.
Yay. Thanks, Paula.
I love it. I know I do. I'm not an auditory learner. I have to write everything down. I have to look at it.
We just kept putting it out there. People kept responding to it. People were reading the Bible who, like me, had tried their whole lives to read the Bible and failed. And it's just, you know, 20 minutes a day.
But were you changed? Is that why you wanted to do it? Because you finally get through it along with your friend. Did that change you? And is that why, was that the impetus for why you wanted to get this into the hands of other people, why you wanted to encourage
Absolutely.
Other people to do it?
For my whole life, I had been trying to build my life around this thing that I didn't really understand and this person that I didn't really know. I mostly knew God secondhand. When I read the Bible and got to know God firsthand for who he really is, it absolutely changed my heart. It was like, now I love this because he's beautiful. He's beautiful. I'm like, listen, I've been there and I know what that change looks like. And I want that for you because it changed everything for me.
I have never read the Bible in a year. Okay. But I'm going through the Bible recap now and you make it come alive. And not just that you're making it relatable, but you're making it understandable. And so many of the questions that I have had, or some of my friends who are not believers have, you're addressing them. Where did you get all of this knowledge? You didn't go to seminary. You're not a theologian.
Right,
you're not a scholar per se. Where did you uncover all of this information?
I love how easy and accessible information is in the world today. And so when I was doing this, listen, my prayer was that 300 people would listen. And I woke up on January 1st, 2019, the year we launched, to 300 emails from listeners. And I was like, oh boy, people are listening. And so it put the fear of God in me that like, you gotta get this right. Yeah. But what I'm doing when I'm reading the Bible is I'm thinking, I'm not literally thinking what question is Paula Ferris going to have, but I'm thinking what questions are the listeners out there going to have about what we just read? What's going to be a stumbling block for them? What are they going to get hung up on? What seems inconsistent? What aspects of God might be off-putting to them that they might not understand? What context? I've been to Israel now 17 times. So I'm taking all of that as well as all of the information that I can find in Bible commentaries, books, like study Bibles, things like that. There are loads of free resources like that online. And so I would do, you know, between 6 and 12 hours of research for each 8-minute episode.
What are the stumbling blocks? What are the questions? You're doing such a great job of answering those. Just brilliant. And now 150 million downloads, Tara Lee. I mean, just the success was so
it really was.
For you,
it continues to blow me away. Like we're sitting here and you've got your, for the listeners who are listening, Paula's got this beautiful setup. It's like this amazing microphone and
I'm in my house in a bedroom turned office. Okay. And on the other side of it is my son's bedroom. Okay. So it's not like that glamorous, but you're looking at a very beautiful.
Well, you
wall
did a great job.
Painted.
Looks great. Yeah.
So it looks amazing,
yeah, you do.
But I do have a nice
So
microphone.
I have a $99 microphone from Amazon and my first studio was the box that the microphone came in. I stuffed a sheepskin rug into it. And that was my sound
Shut
booth.
Up.
And if you go on my Instagram page, you can see a picture of my first setup that I'm doing this podcast on. I was not expecting.
Wait, so you were speaking into the box, into the sheepskin rug, which would then absorb the sound.
Yes. So middle of the night in Dallas, in my dining room, I'm sticking my head into a box with a sheep in it and recording.
The irony of all
sweating,
of this too.
sweating so much because I had to turn my AC off, as you know, when you record. And yeah, of course I didn't know that many people were going to listen. It was a total shock. I was like, maybe D Group will listen to this. Maybe if I can get 300 people to listen and read the Bible with me, mission accomplished. My life's work. There you go.
Well, Tara Lee, I'm so glad that you took that leap of faith and you went for something that you, like you said, felt ill-equipped to do. How could you encourage those listening? If there's something on their heart, they feel called to it, they're good at it, and they love it, and other people are feeding that too, but they're just hung up on the fact that I don't feel qualified to do this.
I have two thoughts. The first thought is usually those things arise from problems that we see in the world. Whatever bothers you is probably the problem that you're trying to solve. So for me, it bothered me that other people weren't really engaging with scripture and didn't really know who God is. And mostly they were misquoting him, misapplying the word, hearing about him secondhand, saying things on their Instagram, posting quotes that I was like, that is not what that means. Things. And I was like, this bothers me and I want to help fix it because I know how much more joy is out there for them. And the other thing that I will say for the people who are like, oh, I kind of want to give up. Like, listen, it's not going away. That thing that you feel inside of you, that tension, it's not going away. It's going to keep bothering you. And so you're going to have
to
get really good.
Thank you for getting closer to the microphone and lowering your voice a little bit when you said that. It's not going away.
It's not going away. So you got to either get really good at deadening your heart and ignoring that prompting inside of you.
It's not going away, but we're going away. That's how we're going
to end. This is why you're a pro. You are a pro.
This is called a transition, right? A segue. Tell people how they can keep in touch with you, how they can reach out to you, and how they can stay connected, Tierley.
TheBibleRecap.com is a great place to, if you want to jump in with us, and the start link on that page is a great way to start with us. Or if you want to, you know, go check out that sheepskin box that I talked about to Paula, you can find me at TerryLeeCobble.com or Instagram, TerryLeeCobble.
I'll have links to everything in the show notes, including the God Chat, which is coming out later this year. And the Bible Recap in Spanish.
La synopsis de la Biblia.
La synopsis de la Biblia.
You sound better than I do.
No,
so
terrible.
You're going to keep it with that.
All right. Tierley, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's awesome.
Thanks, Paula. I loved it.
Everything you need to connect with Tierley is in our show notes. But friends, if you feel that stirring, like she said, if you feel that stirring, it's not going away. It's going to keep bothering you. So at some point, you're just going to have to step into your fear and go for it. And again, just because you're good at something does not mean that you're being called to it. A close friend of mine who's a teacher who has taught for decades, she just walked away from it because she said, I was good at it, but I didn't love it. Are you good at it? Do you love it? And do trusted people notice that you're good at it and that you love it? Those are the three steps to calling. Okay, I mentioned earlier in the conversation that you have a chance to win an autographed copy of the Bible Recap from Tierley Cobble. The details will be in my personal newsletter. You can sign up for it at paulaferrisofficial.com. That's just paulaferrisofficial.com. I send this newsletter out every 2 weeks. It's full of facts, funnies, and some of my favorites. And you can also stay up to date with what's going on in my world. You can connect with me there. I'll tell you what we have cooking for the podcast this fall. You will be the first to know everything that's going on. So you can connect with me on my newsletter at paulaferrisofficial.com. And you can also connect with me on Instagram at Paula Ferris. And I don't want you to miss out on anything. So make sure you've subscribed to the podcast. I will be releasing one very special bonus episode during our summer break, but you're only going to know about it if you are subscribed. And if you want to stay up to date with what I've got going on at Carry Media, which is all about beating the drum for working moms and telling the story of working moms so that we can enact change. You guys know that we have that weekly newsletter for working moms. It's the weekly newsletter for working moms. You can sign up for the Carry All at carrymedia.com. Friends, it is such an honor to walk this journey with you. I'm going to hop off for a bit, but again, get caught up on some episodes. I'd love it if you did some PR work for me this summer and just shared some of these conversations to encourage those around you regarding what they're called to do and who they're called to be. I'm just a better person for this. And I just want to say you're the best part of my Tuesdays. Have a great, restful summer, everyone. And I'll be back soon.